It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in John chapter 8. We're going to read from verse 25 through verse 38 today. So please, you open your Bibles and follow along with me as I read, and read along with me if you'd like. It's always good to read the Word of God. Then we'll follow up with the study of the Word of God to learn more and more about Jesus. John chapter 8, we'll begin reading with verse 25, and while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to invite you to the study today, and please that you enjoy it. And again, to read it is one thing, but to study it is another, and we must study the Word of God. Now that you have opened your Bibles, I'd like for you to follow along. John chapter 8, beginning to read with verse 25. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said to them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of his Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house for ever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Let's begin now with a word of prayer before we start the study today. Father, we do praise and thank you that we can come together and study this precious word. Help us to seek your way and will. I ask that the Holy Spirit will touch every heart that's listening today, that they will recognize they're a sinner and they're lost and they need to come to you and be saved. Please, today that they do that. And then I ask, Father, that they will continue in the Word as verse 31 tells us. Please, Lord, touch the hearts of all that are listening today, that they will be changed, they will be made new, born again, because of the study that we have today, and not because of words that I say, but because of words that you say and the penetration of the Holy Spirit upon their heart. Speak to their hearts today, each and every one of them, including mine, Lord. I want to hear from you today as we study your word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look and we find we did not start with verse 24, but we'll back up just a second there and take a look at it. John chapter 8, verse 24, it says, For ye believe not that I am. That's very important that you recognize who the Lord Jesus is. Many people say they know Jesus, but they don't. They know of him, they know about him, but they don't know him personally as their Savior. That's the difference from heaven to hell. And some people say that it's not too far, it's only about 18 inches. And they think, well, that's not too far from heaven to hell then, if it's only 18 inches apart. That's not what I'm talking about. The 18 inches is from your head to your heart. And many people refuse to listen to the call that their heart is making unto them. They refuse to come by faith because they have been taught for so long that if I can't explain it or understand it, then it must not be right. Well, the Word of God is true. It has confirmed it over and over again as Jesus has proved that He is God. And he has come to seek and to save those that are lost. He's done the same thing with his word here. Please that you trust in him. You're not coming blindly. You're not coming blindly at all, but there's things that you cannot see, and you must believe, and you must come by faith to Jesus. Trust that he is your Savior. Know that you're lost and dying in your sin, and trust him as your Savior. Please come. Turn. The word repent means to turn to him today, and you'll do that because of the calling of the Holy Spirit. He says, For if ye believe not that I am, you're going to die in your sins. That's what verse 24 says. As we look through these verses of Scripture, it begins now, once again, with verse 25. Maybe this is you. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? They have asked him this question over and over again. We find back in verse 22 that they sought to kill him. And then the Jews, will he kill himself, they wanted to know. We know in verse 37 it says that, But ye seek to kill me. See, Jesus knows the heart of every man. He knows what's in there. He knows your heart. You can't fool him. You can't take care of and answer all the questions properly, and that lets you pass the course, because Jesus can see your heart. And your heart must change. And if your heart is not, if you're not born again in Jesus Christ, you are not a child of God, nor are you going to heaven. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. It's so important that you recognize who Jesus is. These people just kept coming back over and over again, saying, Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said to them, Even the same that I said to you from the beginning. I have never changed from the beginning. You know, as we looked back in the verse 24 there, we found that Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 was the place where the first time we heard, I am, and where that entered in was when Moses went unto the Lord and said, Now, when I go to talk to the people, they're not going to believe me. God said, You go and you tell them what I've told you. And he says, Well, who should I say has sent me? And the response then and there, as is still today, I am. Before eternity, we'll be here all through. Has no beginning, has no end. It's wonderful to fellowship and to know the living God. You must know him as well. You must believe in him, not just know of him or about him, but you must come by faith. Don't let your head, don't let that mind and all the teaching and all the knowledge that you have in there decide that you don't have to do anything more when your heart is calling right now, that you would come and trust in the Lord Jesus. Please come. You feel that pricking in your heart? Please come. It's so important to accept the Lord Jesus. Even the same that I said from the beginning. Jesus has never changed. He has been the Savior of everyone that has come by faith to him, and he has saved everyone that has come by faith to him. He died for all, but he has only saved those that have come by faith and accepted him. Listen to that call in their heart. Now, are you going to do the same, or are you going to sit here and be much like these people, question it over and over again, trying to figure it out? You hear that, you feel that pricking. You know, I say that to be saved is not a feeling, and it's not. But there is a presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and the Word says you're pricked in your heart. And when you're pricked, when you know that's taking place, that's the calling of the Holy Spirit for you to confess your sin and come to Jesus. Will you please come today and follow after him? Please come. Scripture continues in verse 26, And I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard of him. Question again is, Who art thou? And the response is, I am, as we find in verse 24. And as we look through verse 26, you know, we need to recognize that only should we speak the Word of God. We need to speak the Word of God, nothing more and nothing less. I hear today over the radio, you can find it over the television, you can buy to get tapes, you can do so many things today, and you can find that people, they tell story after story after story, trying to make some example of some sort or another concerning the Word of God. Why not just proclaim the Word of God? Why not just call people to Jesus? Why do we have to make it so colorful? It's because you don't believe the Word of God can save. Maybe it's because you have changed the Word of God just a little bit. Maybe you've moved to the right or to the left. You no longer stand right on the Word of God. You've added just a little bit, perhaps baptism, that you need to be baptized to be saved. Maybe you've added that. Possibly you've added that you need to be a member of the church. Maybe you've added that you can lose your salvation. You know, I used to believe that once you were saved, you're always saved, but now I don't. Maybe you've compromised there. Well, I'll never compromise because I was saved in 1975. I was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I was saved by His death on the cross of Calvary. I was saved as He was resurrected from the dead and is at the right hand of the Father right now. And I have that comforter that He spoke of because that comforter came right into my heart the day I was saved. And that comforter is going to stay there. He doesn't come and go. Oh, I'm not perfect. Yes, I sin. Now, when I sin, I break my fellowship with my Father. I have not the sweet fellowship that I should have. I can't expect His power and His strength when I'm disobedient. But He does not. As a child with a mother or a father, when that child is disobedient, that child does not become an orphan, completely separated from his father, no ties, until he confesses that sin, and then he's back back with him again, named as his son again. That's not right at all. You're always father and son. You're always, they're always my children, no matter what they do, are always my children. That never changes. So once you become a child of God, that's the biggest problem. You refuse to come by faith and be saved. You refuse to be a child of God because it's so simple. What have you added or what have you taken away from the Word of God that takes that power away? We should speak. He that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. Jesus Himself spoke the words of His Father. He was sent to proclaim, to show that He was God, that Jesus is God. He was to be a witness of His presence. Again, He is God. He has come to save. He was sent to show that the Father sent Him, and He gave much evidence of witness of that. Now we have not only the Father sending Him, we have the Lord Jesus coming, we have the Lord Jesus performing these miracles no man could perform to show that He is God, and He does nothing. Jesus does nothing except what His Father directs Him to do. He is completely and totally obedient. We should follow the example that Jesus has given us to proclaim nothing but His Word and His truth. Now, if we'll do that, we'll begin to see and watch folks' lives change. We'll begin to watch folks that have been sitting in church all of their life, and all of a sudden now, they're beginning to squirm just a little bit as they're sitting there in that pew because they're uncomfortable, because they're recognizing that they're a sinner and that Jesus has come to save them. But do they want to confess that? Do they want to repent? Do they want to turn unto the Lord Jesus to have their sins forgiven? Or would they rather take their chances, go off into eternity, thinking that just possibly there's some other way? Well, there is no other way. Just Jesus. By faith in Him. Don't add works. Don't Don't take away from the Word of God. Stand on its truth and proclaim it. And watch the Holy Spirit work with that. Nothing more, nothing less. We need to speak the Word of God. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They missed it all, didn't they? Is that you today? Have you been sitting in church all your life? You've been listening to me. I don't know, I'd have to look up to see how many years now that we've been on the radio. But we've been on there for a long time. We're somewhere in the area of 275, 276 radio programs, possibly a few more than that. And so as you look at the between 275 and 280 radio broadcasts, half-hour programs that you have sat and listened, I hope that you've listened to every one of them. But if you have and you still neglected to come to the Lord Jesus, you're just like these people. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. God the Father sent me, Jesus said. He sent me to save you. Now will you believe my Father, and will you believe in me, and come by faith, trust in me that I can save you and take your sin away? Please believe it in your heart. That was the call. Then said Jesus unto them in verse 28, John 8:28. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these words. Once again, we should always listen and proclaim the Word of God, not our interpretation of the Word of God, but the Word. Proclaim it clearly, stand up on it, and don't move no matter what group or what people are going to do or going to say about you. Stand up on the Word of God and enjoy it. Learn from it. Grow from it. He tells them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. You can go to Acts chapter 2 and chapter 3. We find that there were added to the church 3,000 souls at one time after the Lord Jesus had been lifted up upon the cross. John chapter 3, verse 14, if we take just a minute to look that verse of Scripture up. John chapter 3, verse 14. John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What's 28 say? John 8:28. Then said Jesus to them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. You'll know then that I do nothing of myself. Because if everything was done for Jesus, would you give your life that you could save one other person's life, maybe your best friend? Maybe you'd do that. Maybe. Would you give your life to save an enemy? Someone that hates you? Because you see, that's the condition that man is in relationship to God. Man hates God. Oh, you say, no, I believe in God, I love God. Your sin will find you out. You need to confess your sin, repent, and turn to the Lord Jesus. Because there's nothing good in you. Yes, you've sat in church all of your life, and yes, you've said that you believe in God and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the problem is that you have never heard the truth that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. You say, Larry, I've heard that. All right, then listen up. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that you can live. All right, you understand that. You say, yes, I hear that at Easter time. I understand that. Well, you should hear it every time you come together to begin with, not just Easter time. But now that you've heard it, that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood for you, rose from the dead for you, that you can have forgiveness of sins. You hear that. Now, will you come by faith? As the Holy Spirit draws you, will you come by faith and trust in Him as your Savior and begin to make Him Lord of your life? Will you do that today? He said, Larry, I've asked him in my heart several times. No, it's one time. There's only one time that you need to truly ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. And you will have a personal relationship with him, and you will recognize it, and you will know it. And if you have done it more than one time, then you weren't pricked in your heart. You did it because somebody else asked you to say it. Say it for yourself, because you are the only one that can save yourself. And you can only save yourself by faith in Jesus Christ. Please that you come. You don't believe me, you don't believe my Father. You don't know me, you don't know my Father. You don't know me, you don't know my Father, and you don't know my words. And yet they all sat in church all the time. They even claim something down here concerning Abraham in a few minutes. And we find that Jesus tells them that you're in trouble as well there. Verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. It's wonderful to know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. They are God. Yet there's three separate persons, and the Son came down, sent by the Father to save us. We know that the Holy Spirit comes, has been sent by the Son, the Lord Jesus, after he went back home to draw us. He come to be our comfort, and he is our comfort once we have come to the Lord Jesus. Oh, to be called by the Word of God, the truth. Speak only the Word, nothing more, nothing less. And watch the Word work in your heart. Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus. How long are you going to stay away? We find, according to verse 30, he spake these words and many believed on him. We praise the Lord, many believed. Sad to say, they could not say all believed, could they? They just could say many believed. Oh, that's so sad that they could not, again, could not say all believed. Just some. Some believed. Is that the way you're going to be today? Are you sitting there and listening with your family? You say, Larry, I'm already a believer. How about your whole family? Is your family saved? If they're not, turn to them and ask them, would you like to trust in Jesus today? Would you like to come by faith to Jesus? And if your family is saved, then my friend, you get in the house of God today. You listen to the Word of God, and you respond to that Word as it calls you. And then if they got services on Sunday night, you get back into church on Sunday night. This nonsense of staying away from the house of God on Sunday night and on Wednesday night when the church doors open and you have the opportunity to be there, shame on you for not being in the house of God. What more would you want than to hear the Word of God and to fellowship with believers, unless you're so far out of the will of God that you don't want it? You still want to live in the world, don't you? How many times do you come and you say, I want to live for Jesus. I want the power of God. How many times do you say that? But then you turn right around and refuse such an opportunity to come into the house of God, to grow closer to Jesus. You don't want it. You want to live the way you're living right now. You say, Larry, no, that's not right. Yes, it is. Because you refuse to come into the house of God and study the Word of God. How many of you are that way? How many of you go to a church that has services and have Bible study on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Probably not too many. That's sad. If you don't have church on Sunday night or Wednesday night, come over here. We meet at 7 o'clock every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. We're studying the book of Acts on Sunday night. We're studying the book of Ruth on Wednesday night. Please come into the house of God. Please study the Word of God. Oh, it's so sad. So many folks today are missing it. But here, as he spake these words, as he spoke concerning and confirming that he is God, I am God, I am the Son of God, I have come to seek and to save you, and I'm being obedient from what my Father has sent me to do. I am doing just that. Because of those words, some begin to come. They begin to trust in him. Jesus had words for those. He said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is the leadership in your church interested in reading and studying the word of God? Does your church have requirements that they have to be at every service? Or they can't be an elder or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or something like that. And so when you're serving in that capacity, then you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But as soon as your term of office is finished, then you kind of slack off a little bit because you had to do it because it was a requirement. Well, that's so sad that you didn't desire in your heart to be there. That you were there every time the church doors opened because you love to read the Word of God. You love to study the Word of God. And not only when the church doors are open, but in the evening. You love to come home from work and sit down and spend time with the Lord studying His Word so that you may grow and be closer to the Lord Jesus. Does the leadership of your church do that? That's qualities that they must have. If your church is not a church that loves to study the Word of God, if your church is a group that does not like to come, maybe you don't even have Bible study. You have a preaching service, you have Sunday school in the morning, and that's it. You have no opportunity for the people to come back together to grow. You think that's enough? Well, people just don't come. Well, I'll tell you what, you're in trouble. If people will not come to Bible study, that person is in trouble. And if your church doesn't offer it, that church is in trouble, and you have gotten far away from the Word of God. What did Jesus say in verse 31? Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. There should never be a person in leadership position in a church that is not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not like to study the Word of God, if you do not enjoy reading the Word of God, you come because you have to come, and you don't sit down and love, pore over the Word of God, you're in trouble. The truth is known, you're probably lost. You're not even saved. Today our church doors are closed to Bible study. Nobody wants to take time to study the Word of God. Is that you? We find verse 32. This will be the last that we'll get across today. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus is the truth. John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He asks us to trust Him, to come by faith to Him. And He wants to live His life through us. We don't have to put something on. People say, when I become a Christian, I'm going to stop doing this and stop doing this and stop doing that. Oh, it's such a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ, to be a child of God. When we yield to Him, we are free. Until then, you are in bondage. I said that would be as far as we could get, but there is one more part. They answered Him. They had an answer for Him, didn't they? We be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. Is that your answer? I belong to this church. What do you mean telling me that I need to come by faith to Jesus? My church doesn't teach that. These people here said, I'm a child of Abraham. I've never been in bondage. If you're saying you've never been in bondage, and if you're saying your church is going to save you, then you're just like this Israelite, this Jew, because they were in bondage in Egypt, they were in bondage in Babylon, They're in bondage right now to Rome. They have really never been out of bondage because they have continued to go with the gods of the world, not the true God. Will you come today to Jesus? My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?